All financial advice provided on this show is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The financial ideas and strategies discussed are only provided as a starting point for a conversation about money matters. With regard to your particular investments and financial strategies, consult your financial planner, CPA, or investment professional. All your financial decisions are yours and yours alone to make and subsequently are solely your responsibility. The information that is supplied through the context of the radio program and any repurposing of its content by the host or network is a combination and collection of solid financial investment understanding, opinion, and comments. This network, show, and its host are not liable for financial strategies, outcomes that you employ in any manner that result in any kind of loss. Shares of corporate sponsors may be the subject of buy or sell recommendations in Jay Taylor's newsletter in accordance with Jay's objective opinion.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. This hour will help investors fix issues and achieve personal gain. Now, here's your host, Jay Taylor.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, speaking to you from New York City on this, the 7th day of September, 2021. Before I talk more about today's show, I do like to remind you that I am the author of a newsletter called Jay Taylor's Gold, Energy, and Tech Stocks. You can sign up for that letter by going to miningstocks.com, miningstocks.com. Call our number in New York during regular work hours, 718-457-1426. 718-457-1426. We do also like to suggest that you consider signing up for Chen Lin's letter, What is Chen Buying, What is Chen Selling? ChenPicks.com is the website to go to sign up for Chen's letter. And we want to thank you all for listening and making it one of the more listened to shows on the Voice America Business Channel. Also, want to encourage you to send along whatever comments, questions, or whatever comments you might have to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. Questions, the number 4, taylor@gmail.com. I also want to thank our sponsors for making this show economically viable. This week's sponsors are Noble Resources, El Oro Resources, Hannon Metals, Labrador Gold Corp, Lion One Metals, SK Mining Corp, NV Gold Corp, and Firefox Gold. I've titled today's show, Making Sense of a Financial World Run Amok. Frank Holmes and Chen Lin return. Walter J. Buckley visits for the first time. If anyone can help us make sense of the world that seems to rely more on miracles of technology and concepts of equality rather than merit, it's Frank Holmes. From his years of experience managing precious metals and natural resource mutual funds, to starting an airline ETF, and now to serving as executive chairman of Hive Blockchains Technologies, Frank Holmes can bridge the gap of understanding between a traditional investment mentality and the mysteries of cryptocurrencies. We will look to Frank for some portfolio guidance in this rapidly changing world, as well as Chen Lin, who will join me after our first commercial break. Chen specializes in biotech stocks as well as energy and precious metals miners, and his connections in China always provide some good insights from people he knows and speaks to in China. So I look forward to talking with Chen Lin right after our first commercial break. Before we go to our first commercial break, I want to introduce to you a longtime friend of mine named Walter J. Buckley. I prefer using the name Jay because that is the name that he uses most of the time in his daily activities, and it is the name I use whenever I speak with him. I learned to know Jay when we worked together in the 1980s at Westpac Banking Corporation in New York. We have remained friends since then. All told, Jay has had a 40-year career in banking. Since we worked together at Westpac, Jay has gone on to work as a vice president at Midland Montague, and then he spent the last 27 years as a managing director at Crédit Agricole CIB. Now in retirement, Jay enjoys spending time with his family, sailing, golfing, and serving as a board member of the Guide Dog Foundation and America's Vet Dogs. I have personally donated to the Guide Dog Foundation because I believe this 503c organization does some very good things for humanity, and that's why I've invited my friend Jay onto the show today to tell you a little bit about the Guide Dog Foundation. Welcome, Jay, and thanks so much for joining me.
Well, thank you, Jay. I really appreciate that very much. And again, thank you so much for making that kind donation that you provided a couple of weeks ago.
Well, you know, it's said that dogs are man's best friend or something like that. I think the saying goes, and it certainly, they are adorable animals. And I know we met up with, you have one, a vet dog, I think, a retired dog, I think, a German Shepherd, very, very beautiful animal. And they are just lovable animals. I think God gave them to us because he loves us and he wants us to enjoy life, and they really are a blessing, aren't they?
Yeah, I agree. And yes, my dog Rocky, Sergeant Rocky, is a retired veteran service dog who we adopted 5 years ago, almost exactly 5 years ago, and he's been a real blessing to us. And that's actually how I became interested in and how I got to know the America's Vet Dogs Foundation.
Yeah, and I'm happy to say that Teresa and I met up with Rocky, too, a few weeks ago or so, earlier this summer anyway. Well, anyway, tell us a little bit about the history of the Guide Dog Foundation and how they are such a blessing to people who have special needs, especially. I mean, I don't know that you have any special needs, Jay, but they're just lovely to have around you. But especially people that have special needs, these dogs can be trained to really provide some help to them. But tell us a little bit about them.
About the history.
Yeah.
Well, Jay, the America's Vet Dogs began in 2003 as a project of the Guide Dog Foundation for the Blind to consolidate and increase our outreach to veterans of all eras. In 2006, it became a separate 501c3 not-for-profit organization that serves the needs of disabled veterans, active-duty service members, and responders with disabilities, allowing them to once again live with pride and self-reliance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, you know, I remember seeing the Guide Dogs, Jay. I worked years ago, many, many years ago, I lived and worked in Morristown, New Jersey, and I saw them training for the blind people being trained to use the Guide Dogs. I guess they're still used for that purpose, right? And what are some of the other things that these Guide Dogs are used for? And who, what kind of people do they really help?
Yeah. Now, our service dog programs were created to provide enhanced mobility and renewed independence to U.S. veterans, active duty members, and first responders with disabilities. And we provide guide dogs for individuals who are blind or have low vision, Jay, hearing dogs for those who have lost their hearing later in life, service dogs for those with other physical disabilities, facility dogs as part of the rehabilitation process in military and VA hospitals, and specialized service dogs to help those who have PTSD in an effort to provide emotional and physical support needed. Mm-hmm. For a veteran with a serious limb injury, an amputation, or traumatic brain injury, a service dog can provide stability and support climbing up and down stairs or getting in and out of a chair, and can be trained to fetch and retrieve specific items, for example, a medication, a wallet, or a phone. For veterans with seizure disorder, our dogs can be trained to be alert for seizure response. And that, in fact, is what Rocky was. He was one of those specialized service dogs. And when we drop things, to this day, he'll go over and pick it up for us, which is really great.
Yeah, I think we saw a demonstration of that perhaps when we were visiting with you. Where are these dogs trained, Jay?
Yeah, we have a 10-acre campus out in Smithtown, Long Island, Jay, which houses our administration office, our training center with kennel space for up to 174 dogs, breeding and development center for our puppies, and our student residence center out there.
Mm-hmm. Can you give us some idea of how many people have been helped over the years by guide dogs? Do you have any number?
Yeah, we have placed over 1,000 assistance dogs with disabled veterans, including guide and service dogs, combat stress control dogs, and specialized therapy dogs. So it's quite an undertaking. It takes a long time to train these dogs, Jay, and I've actually had a chance on many occasions now to go out to the campus and watch these dogs being trained. And furthermore, the veterans that we do give these dogs to, I've actually seen them. They live on campus for a couple of weeks with the trainers, and they get to know their dogs, and they learn how to work with their dogs for the specialized needs that they have. So it's quite a thing to say, and it's, as you said, I think you phrased it very nicely. It truly is a blessing to watch how these dogs and these veterans get to know each other and how they bond. It is really something that it actually brings tears to your eyes when you see what it does for them.
Sure. And I think I saw something about George Herbert Walker Bush, maybe in his older age. You guys provided a dog for him. Is that right?
Yeah. We are very proud of that fact that we trained and placed service dog Sully H.W. Bush with the late President Bush in 2018. And I had the chance to meet Sully at one of our recent fundraisers. He's quite an amazing dog. And now that late President Bush has passed away, he's serving our patients at the Walter Reed National Medical Facility now. So he continues to provide his services to those in need at the Walter Reed Medical Facility. And as many people would have seen, he was the dog that was, when you saw President Bush's funeral and you saw his casket there in wake, you saw the dog sitting by his side. That was Sully. That was the dog that we trained specifically for President Bush.
I think you have a personal story to relate as well, a Marine sergeant perhaps that you would care to share with our listeners?
Sure. And also, I just wanted to mention to you, Jay, that it cost over $50,000 to breed, raise, and train and place one of these assistant dogs, and that it's never a charge to the veteran or first responder.
Sure.
All of our funding comes from the generous contributions of individuals, corporations, foundations, businesses, and service and fraternal clubs. But to answer your question, I do have a personal story because it really caught me by surprise. As you know, I like to golf, and one of the places I like to golf is at a local golf course here at the VA Center. And it was about a year or so ago when I went up to the starter. The starter was a guy who was about 6'3". He looked a little bit like Arnold Schwarzenegger. And he, you know, like, and this guy looked like, try to imagine G.I. Joe at 6'3" on steroids. This guy would look like he was in great shape, and he looked like he could literally, you know, chew metal for himself. But he was there, and I saw a dog with him, and I saw that the dog was wearing a vest. So I went over to the dog, and I looked at it, and it said America's Vet Dogs on it. So I went over to this sergeant, and I said to him, hey, you know, I see that you have a service dog. He goes, yeah. He goes, I got it from the America's Vet Dogs. And he started to tell me a little bit about it. And I said, just so you know, I said, I'm on the board of directors there. And he just immediately just stopped, and he looked at me. And tears came to his eyes. He came over in front of my friends and gave me a hug and said to me, he goes, this dog changed my life. He goes, I have PTSD. He goes, and I tried to commit suicide. I was on the brink of committing suicide on several occasions. He goes, this dog has saved my life. He goes, I can't tell you how blessed I am to have him. He goes, and I thank you so much for your service. And I said, you're thanking me? I said, you were a Marine sergeant deployed to Afghanistan. Three tours of duty.
Oh my goodness.
And I said, I thank you for your service, sir.
Absolutely.
I do nothing in comparison to what you did. So that was my personal story. And just made me very proud to have to be affiliated with the organization, Jay.
Sure. And you know, our listeners, anybody that really they're touched by this story, by maybe a lot of people listening to this show know people who have been back from service and who have been harmed in one way or another. Certainly there is a way that we can help, and maybe you could explain that to our listeners.
Sure. And I appreciate that. Yeah, my ask today, Jay, for your listeners is to please donate anything you can to our wonderful organization for those who served us so honorably, and especially, as you can imagine, now that we're seeing how things have unfolded in Afghanistan and how these brave men and women that have been so highly trained and have given so much of their lives. So if you really can, it would be great if you could go to our website, and I'll spell that. It's www.vetdogs.org. That's www.vetdogs.org. And simply press the donate button on the top right part of the page, and there are several ways one can help us, and your support is so much appreciated.
Yeah,
as I said, all of this, we provide these free of charge to these veterans and also first responders, Jay, not just veterans.
Yes.
And so all of these donations go so much. It's just a wonderful organization.
And I'm sure there are an awful lot of people that could be helped if the financial means were there to do that, right? So.
Yep, that's exactly right.
A lot of people out there in need. All of these wars we've had for so many years. And at a time like this, I can definitely believe that it's a time more than ever that these veterans need this kind of help. Jay, thank you so much for being with us and telling us about this story. It is a very heartwarming story, and you know, normally we're looking at gold and making money and so forth, but the human side of life, I mean, we work hard because we want to help each other, and this is one way people can definitely do that. Thank you so much for being with us, Jay, and we'll look to keep up with you in the future on this very worthy cause that you have been engaged in. Thank you.
Thank you, Jay, and thank you to your listeners very much.
All right. Well, folks, don't go away, because coming right up after the break, I will be talking to Chen Lin, who will update us on his latest thinking about China, the equity markets, and perhaps a comment or two on the gold and gold share and biotech markets, as well as his latest comments on the job numbers that came out this past Friday. So don't go away. I'll be right back with Chen Lin.
Firefox Gold is actively exploring in Finland, where recent discoveries have sparked a new gold rush. Firefox controls a major portion of a prospective gold belt, giving the company a distinct advantage for exploration and strategic partnerships. The company's strong international leadership team, combined with its Finland-based exploration specialists, will put Firefox on the crest of the coming wave of gold discoveries. Firefox Gold trades on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol FFOX. Go to firefoxgold.com to subscribe for updates.
SK Mining Corp, trading under the symbol ESK on the TSX Venture and ESKYF on the OTCQB, is a mineral exploration company targeting precious metals, rich VMS deposits in the heart of British Columbia's Golden Triangle. SK Mining controls a prospective land package totaling 130,000 acres, which lies across a geologic trend that once hosted the prolific SK Creek Mine. With a world-renowned geological team, funding in place, and shareholders such as Eric Sprott, SK Mining is on the cusp of a world-class discovery. Go to skmining.com to subscribe for updates.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.